We're talking tonight also, just we're working through the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul lists these wonderful qualities that should emerge in our life if we are tending the garden of our soul, and if the Holy Spirit is doing its work in our hearts. Then these things should emerge, these qualities, these virtues should come up. I'm sure most of us know them by heart by now, but why don't we just try going through them in order together and see how we do. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Did we forget one? We forgot. Yes, we got gentleness. We had nine. There was nine. Yeah, right. The nine. There used to be this campaign that helped people eat more fruit, and it was called the five-a-day campaign. You're supposed to have five kinds of fruit every day. So we're doing the nine-a-day campaign here. We want to have nine kinds of fruit. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. And I want to kind of confess to you that gentleness has not been always in my life the easiest thing, especially when I was a kid. Some of you have heard this story before, and if you have, forgive me, okay? But there is a fairly infamous story in my household where as a boy, I don't know, I was like 8 or 10 years old, I don't know. My sister was getting on my nerves really badly. And I was in the rec room, and she was bugging me, and she said something horrible to me. So I said something even more horrible back to her. And then she said something, and I said something. And there used to be this brick by our fireplace that was loose. And eventually, I got so angry at what she had said to me and the things she was doing to me that I just reached for this loose brick. I pulled it out of the fireplace, and I held it up as to hit her with it. I was fuming. I was angry. She saw in my eyes that I was serious, and so she started running. And I was totally like out of control. I was an out of control kid. I ran down the hall after her. I ran through the kitchen, and I so remember it. She ran out the back door, and as she swung the back door, which was glass, of course, as she swung it shut behind her, I actually launched the brick at her. And the brick smashed through the glass door, shattering glass everywhere. Thankfully, it did not end up hitting her. But I tell you, our relationship got shattered that day too, along with that glass door. Thankfully, we've cleared things up since in the years that have passed since then. But I just share that with you to talk about kind of the exact opposite of gentleness. If we wanted to, what is gentleness? When the Bible talks about gentleness, what is it talking about? By the way, I'm not going to talk real long tonight at all. But one of the best ways to understand gentleness is this, is if patience is the ability to endure criticism and opposition without getting angry, then gentleness is the ability to endure criticism and anger without lashing out in aggression. It's when all this stuff is coming at you and yet you don't throw the brick, right? You don't have the harsh and aggressive attitude. You know, people get on our nerves, and sometimes it's really easy just to lash out with a horrible word or even lash out physically at them. But gentleness is something different. Gentleness responds with a softness. And I don't think we're born naturally gentle people. I think we have to learn how to be gentle. I can even remember when our kids were young, and we would we actually had some kittens once. And I remember when we would give the kittens to the kids, and even they were just like 3, 4, 5 years old, their first inclination was just to grab the kitten and to hold on to it. And we would have to put our hand over their hand and say, no, no, no. Gentle. We always used to say this. Gentle. Gentle. To kind of show them this is how you handle something like a kitten, right? We all need to learn gentleness. We're not born gentle. And it's also true that when we give our lives to Jesus, There's a new learning that needs to take place, a new level of gentleness that we are called to, and we need to learn it. If we don't learn how to be gentle with each other, everything goes off the rails really fast. Because, you see, we don't actually know what the person that we're lashing out at is going to do in response, in retaliation. And so if we are aggressive, well, then they may respond in aggression as well. And, of course, that only makes things worse and things quickly spiral out of control. So we need to learn gentleness. And actually, it was one of the first things that the Apostle Paul taught this little church in Ephesus was how to be gentle with each other. I've given you a little sheet that has just a few scriptures I'll be referencing tonight. I think everybody got one. There's a stack of them somewhere around here, maybe, if you didn't get one. Yeah. When Paul's writing to these Ephesians, that very first scripture I put on there, he says, hey, you guys, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Right? That's his teaching. That's one of his first teachings. Hey, you're followers of Jesus now. Let me tell you what that means. You need to be gentle with each other. That doesn't sound really radical to us, but you have to understand, in the first century, gentleness was not a virtue. No way. In the world that Paul grew up in the Greco-Roman world, gentleness and humility were not regarded as, you know, great qualities to have, right? Gentleness was actually despised in the ancient world, because real men, what were they like? They were the heroes. The real men were like the warriors, the victors. The real men were those who exercised power and demonstrated athleticism and had dominance with their skill and their abilities, right? Gentleness was like not a thing that was ever held up as a quality or a virtue. That sentiment has trickled down even to today. I mean, think about some of the Hollywood movies that we see out there, right? It's superhero. It's like the comic book character, men in capes, people who are powerful, people who know what to do, people who can take care of business, right? The biblical virtue of gentleness is diametrically opposed to definitely Paul's world, and to a large degree to our world as well. And yet, the Bible says this is a strength. This is a strength that the Holy Spirit will grow in us. So just as a way of getting at this tonight, let's just look at four things. I've got them laid out there on your sheet there. We're going to look at the gentleness of God as we see it in the Old Testament. We'll look at Jesus' gentleness, Paul's gentleness, and then our gentleness. So let's just start with this first. Think about the gentleness of God in the Old Testament. Most of us actually would say, you know, my recollection of the Old Testament is whatever the picture of God is, it's not a gentle God. We don't associate the Old Testament God with gentleness, even though it's the same God. Of course, there's only one God, right? Yet when you read the Bible, you come across these passages that are just like, so obviously we see God's gentleness. Take, for example, my favorite Psalm, and maybe your favorite psalm, the 23rd psalm. How does it begin? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, what a gentle image to describe God. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd who loves and cares for and provides for his sheep. I also love the story of Elijah when it's found in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there's this scene where Elijah is running away in fear. He's running for his life from Queen Jezebel. He's in this kind of suicidal depression. He is so ready to end it all. He goes out into the wilderness. He sits under a tree. He wishes he could die. And then you know what God does? God comes along and basically he mothers him. God says, just sleep, have some sleep, Elijah. And then when he wakes up, he gives him some breakfast, and Elijah has another nap, and then there's more bread, and angels deliver this food to him. It's like God is gently caring for Elijah in his time of need. And then when God took him back to Mount Sinai,
God gives Elijah this amazing kind of audiovisual presentation of who he is. Now, I've written this piece of scripture here. It's the one from 1 Kings 19:11 to 13. So again, Elijah is feeling very frustrated. He's feeling down and out. He needs encouragement. He needs to hear from God. And this is what we read. The Lord said, "Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Ooh. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." And when Elijah heard that, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave because he had heard from God. Not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the gentle whisper. If it were me and I were wanting to hear from God, I would assume, "God, where are you?" And the wind, I would assume God is in the wind and God is in the fire and God is in the earthquake. We make the wrong assumption about God sometimes. God is a gentle God. He does not always come to us in fire and fury. He comes to us in gentleness. And as God gently deals with Elijah, he sends him back out on his way and restores him to the work that he has to do. So that's the first thing. Actually, the God of the Old Testament is a God of gentleness. Okay. So let's move on to the second one. Let's talk a bit about Jesus' gentleness, the gentle picture of Jesus that we see in the Gospels. There's an old hymn, or I think it's a Sunday school song. It's "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." I can't remember what the next line is, but I just know that's the first line, right? "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." And when we sing songs like that about Jesus, we are certainly not saying Jesus was a wimp, or that he was always nice to everybody, because you know that Jesus could speak some pretty strong words sometimes. He could be tough. He could deal with wrongdoing, and he could speak truthfully and honestly to people in ways that really cut through them, right? But he also did it in a way that was gentle. In fact, there's this famous verse. Let's read this one together. This is the second piece of scripture from Matthew 11, where Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is a gentle Messiah. Another great picture of Jesus' gentleness is in that moment in Matthew's gospel where all the children want to come to Jesus. And the disciples are like, "No, children, keep away. This is Jesus. You're not worthy to come and hang around him." And Jesus says, no. "Let the children come to me." And I think children know who's a safe person to go to. I think children know who is a gentle presence and they are drawn to gentle presences. And so when Jesus invites the children, when the children want to come to him, I think it speaks to us that, yeah, Jesus was a gentle Messiah, a gentle Lord. So we've got the picture of the gentle God in the Old Testament. We've got this gentle Jesus in the Gospels. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, also speaks gently and is obviously working on this fruit of the Spirit himself in his own life. So for example, in his letter to the church in Corinth, this is a different church, he had to write to them about some real difficult things. They were really messing around down there and they needed to be put right. The church in Corinth had been questioning Paul's authority, had been questioning his apostleship even. The church in Corinth had been all swept up in all sorts of sinful behaviors. I just wrote a list here. They were quarreling, there was jealousy, there was outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance.
disorder, all these things going on down there. So Paul needed to say something to them. And you know, he might have been ready to pick up the brick and say, okay, guys, that's it, we're done here. And he, you know, lobs that at them. But no, listen to what he says. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. He appeals to them, but listen to what he says. He says, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Paul is, you know, he is working against the grain here. This is not what his culture would consider a virtue or a strong character trait. But he's saying, I'm coming to you gently. I'm coming to you gently. It's kind of revolutionary. That leads us to the fourth one. Let's talk about your gentleness and my gentleness. We also live in a culture that often values aggression and dominance. And so choosing to be people of gentleness is actually a very powerful testimony. It's one of the most powerful things we can do to show that the Holy Spirit is doing its transformative work in our lives, okay? Paul writes this, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I just imagine that early church, you know, in that culture, this group of gentle-minded, gentle-hearted Christians just revolutionizing the way that people treated each other. We too, I think, are called to a similar kind of revolution in our own families, in our own church, in our communities, in our world. And so just to end here, let's just think about where we go. What do we do? In the week ahead, why don't you and me, we actively look for opportunities where we can demonstrate gentleness. This might just be because we take time to offer a listening ear to someone, or we speak a word of encouragement to someone who really needs to hear it, or we respond with just a calmness and a peace in a really tense situation. We bring a gentle presence into the tension. And as we do this, just always remember, I'm just as flawed and we're just as tempted as anyone else. Therefore, when we see someone make a mistake and it gets on our nerves, when we see our kids drop something and shatter the bowl over the floor, when our spouse loses the car keys again, or someone that said they would do something forgets to keep their promise, just remember, it could just as easily have been you. Just could have easily just have been me. And so knowing that, with that humility, I don't respond with anger and irritation, but out of humility and self-awareness of my own shortcomings, I can respond with gentleness, the gentleness of God, the gentleness of Jesus, the gentleness of Paul, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.